Good morning. Please turn to whoever's next to you, say good morning. Introduce yourselves so we all become familiar with each other and know each other when we see each other in the streets. We live in a caustic environment where kindness, love, or renewal are often mocked as soft or unrealistic. It can be legitimately discouraging, but the word from the beginning that it would not be easy, and the pathway would be through pain. Nothing is achieved without imagination, and today's readings provide a vision for those of us willing to continue the quest for something new. Like the early Christians, we can help to create a renewed earth. As we begin Mass, please greet your neighbor, which you already did, and now greet Father Smith, our pastor.
Thank you.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church and, with prayer and fasting, commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of the faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord. A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and he will be their people. And God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how you will know that you are my disciples: if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. What does the word kabod sound like to you? It is not strictly onomatopoetic like cuckoo or sizzle, but does have a kind of roughness to it, something you would do with a blunt instrument. It is Hebrew, and indeed it does come from the word to heap weight on something or to be weighty. Yet it is the word used to translate glory in the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, we hear, to the Israelites, the glory of the Lord was seen as a consuming fire on the mountaintop. When King Solomon completed the temple, when the priests left the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. So the priests could no longer minister because of the cloud, since the Lord's glory had filled the temple of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord intends to dwell in thick darkness." There is more than smoke here. there is real presence. Our idea of glory might be closer to fame and celebrated with a reception or a campaign rally, not a dark and frightening cloud. But John has chosen this word for a reason. If God is with us, he is felt. He means today, to be today, he has chosen us however weak, not as smoke however thick. We are to be that presence. Our passage begins with when he had left. This is Judas. Judas and the apostles are at the Passover meal. Jesus had just washed their feet. This is unprecedented. Masters did not wash the feet of their pupils. And what did he mean by, I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do? To whom? When? Where? When we would think that the meal could not get more awkward, Jesus tells them that one of them will betray him. And this betrayal was shown in the most intimate manner. He literally gives Judas food from his own hand. Judas then leaves. And Jesus says to John, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. God is going to be felt. His presence made unmistakably known. He uses the title Son of Man, rather rare in John, and used by Jesus to refer to himself when he's revealing God in his majesty. He has been very clear to the disciples that he will be executed, and yet he says he will be glorified at once. He will be glorified not after or in spite of his death, but in and through it. He will show that his love is so great and overwhelming that he will lower himself to have the most horrific and shameful execution possible. This is humility, which embraces humiliation, but yet is the ultimate source of power. The washing of the feet was a clear sign that Jesus was showing us a new form of love, or at least providing a new interpretation. Therefore, a new commandment would be needed. It is, love one another as I have loved you. Love each other in service and charity. When everything has been said and done, this is how we are revealed as Christians. In modern terms, how have we treated the throwaways and the marginalized? This includes not only the poor in far-off places who are martyrs for the maintenance of our lifestyle, but those in our own family and neighborhood who are inconvenient or annoying. This is so difficult that we cannot do it unaided. God's glory is his presence. He does not come to us so that we can admire him, but that we can join with him and show his glory. A great saint wrote, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." Jesus gave his life that we can truly live. To see what we need to do, let us go back to Kabod, this time to the prophet Ezekiel. Jerusalem is under the final attack from the Babylonians. It is about to fall. The temple will be ransacked and destroyed. Elijah sees the glory of the Lord rose from the city and took a stand on the mountain, which is to the east of the city. The presence of God leaves the temple, but in the vision he sees, then he led me to the gate which faces the east. There I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. I heard a sound like the roaring of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by way of the gate which faces the east, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the inner court, and I saw that the temple was filled with the glory of the Lord. God would return and fill the temple with his glory. Although this passage and prophecy was well known, none of the prophets was inspired to say that the presence had returned. There is no vision, for instance, from Isaiah, recording such a return. The temples still function, but the special presence, the kabod, the glory of God, was not there. Jesus' entrance to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was through the east gate. The presence of God was returning. But what is his key act? It is not a great demonstration of royalty, nor a celebration for the multitudes, but he washes the feet of his disciples. And how will most people see him? Staggering through the streets on his way to crucifixion. The glory has returned, but it is found in a love which lifts up the truly lowly, not builds up the well-connected. We are called to make the presence of Jesus felt, to throw his weight around. We are truly the temple of God, not so much as individuals, but as a community, as a church. But we do not do so by flouting what we have obtained on our own, but what we have received from Jesus. The command and the means of loving as he did. By reflecting the humility of Jesus, we, like him, bring forth the glory of God.
For an awareness of our call to bring vision to life in our corner of the earth, through our other meager attempts and floundering commitment, we pray. For those who are graduating full of hope for the possibility of contributing to a better world, and for work that fulfills their dreams, we pray. For those with visions based on racism, greed, or protecting the status quo, that their hearts and minds open to something larger and more beautiful, we pray. For those too sick, too worried, or in too much pain to attend to a larger vision of life, and for the compassion to understand them and serve their needs, we pray. For our personal petitions, we pray. For James H. Beauchamp and Constantine V. Strizzula, baptized yesterday in this parish, we pray. For Ramona Piazza and Margarita Medina, remembered by Esther Piazza Torres, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. covers that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the glory of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven. And as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you thanksgiving in his holy and limitless hour. Look, pray, on the oblation of your church, and recognize him as sacrificial victim, by whose death you build to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one in spirit. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, your spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with St. Charles Borromeo, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercessions, in your presence, we rely. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all, be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant, Sir Francis, our Pope and Empress, our bishops, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people came before your throne. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before. May your compassion and merciful Father gather to yourself all your children, scattered throughout the world, to our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is. Through him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever.
Good morning. My name is Donna Whiteford, and I'm on the Parish Pastoral Council. And I just want to take a few minutes of your time this morning to, one, encourage you to please, if you're free, sign up to come to the 150th anniversary celebration. There are sheets in the back of the church, and you can sign up online. And the reason we're asking you to sign up is we plan to have hot dogs and hamburgers, and it's kind of hard to plan how much food we need if we don't sort of have an idea of how many people might come. So I hope you're free. That's June 2nd, so it's the Sunday after Labor Day weekend, and it's after the 11:15 a.m. Mass, and we're going to have it in Aiken Place. It'll be closed off, and it should be fun for the whole family. So as I said, there's sheets in the back where you can sign up, or you can sign up online, but we'd love to see you all there, and we need to sort of have an idea of count so we can plan for the event. So that's one. Two is I invite you to stay after Mass for coffee and some pastries. Enjoy fellowship with your fellow parishioners. And we try to do this once a month, and I really hope that many of you stay and just say hello and get to know someone maybe that you haven't met before in the parish. And I'd also like to ask, one, we've got a core group of parishioners who really help to do things, but we're looking to grow that group. Doesn't take a lot of time, but if you've got some spare time and you can help with a coffee hour, if you could help us set up or clean up for the 150th celebration, we're always looking for Eucharistic ministers and lectors and ushers, but we really want to expand our circle of those who can give some of their time and their talents. So if you can, please let, you know, if you see any of us from the Pastoral Council or Father, or you can call the rectory, we would greatly appreciate it. So thank you. And then I just want to put in a plug, because I remembered that Coco is playing, she's doing a solo recital at Carnegie Hall on May 28th at 8 o'clock, if I recall the time correctly. And she's our wonderful music ministry pianist, and she acts as a soloist for us sometimes. So please, if you can, come out and support her. So thank you.
And we will save the record. gladness